for his ministry to this church and for Jay and for Keith and their ministries and teaching the word ministries. It's just been awesome. And so we are here this morning to hear from the Lord again and to be consecrated by the Lord for a work that he has for us. And so we're just going to give it to who's going to go first, Tim? And so we just, we're just going to ask God's blessing. You want to pray?
Yeah.
Or shall I pray?
No,
you want to pray?
Yeah. Okay. Father God, we thank you for this moment of being with you. We just really, really appreciate being able to be together and sing together and worship together. This is just the ability to come together in a place to worship you, to connect, to have our hearts stirred with your presence, to be able to look across a table and see others singing and know we're not alone. And to know that as we journey with you, that there are thoughts that could seem crazy to us that you put on us. And yet when we look across at brothers and sisters who are journeying with you, you affirm us so often in that, God. So we thank you and praise you. We thank you for this congregation. And as Don reminded us earlier, even in the eyes of the district, fully a congregation at this point too. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you very much for this congregation, and we thank you for this moment. And we just ask, Jesus, that the rest of this morning, that that under your blood, Christ, under your leading spirit, that, Father God, you would take full authority in speaking the words that you want to speak. In the name of Jesus, amen. So as we get started here with this part of the first of all, I just want to say, hey, hi. It's awesome to be back. Love being here every time and being with you. And so thanks for your ministry to us, too. We really appreciate your ministry to us. And what we're going to do this morning is there's three of us who are going to give little snippets. And then we're going to go back into a time of prayer for commissioning and imparting and declaring. And so the way that's going to work is the first person who's going to share is Keith. And Keith is kind of a spiritual father to both Jay and I. And he's the chair of the board of Netzer, too, which is, the organization that Jay and I work through in trying to be church for church leaders, because church leaders often are working to serve and equip in the church, but need to be a part of church themselves and cared for and equipped themselves. And so that's what Jay and I work at there, and Keith serves as chair of the board and both speaks into to Jen in my life and Jay and Sherry's life on a regular basis as well, and has served for a long time as a leader in this region, and has functioned in many, many different ways within the church to equip the church and help the church. So we're really blessed to have him. He's going to serve this morning just to bring a teaching at the beginning here that I think is helpful groundwork. I think primary gifting for Keith is he is very much a teacher of the word and can take little words and make us see amazing things. So Keith's going to share that, and then Jay's going to come and is going to share a little bit about how he sees New Beginnings' role within the Church of the Brethren. At Netzer, our kind of catchphrase is ancient roots and new growth. And Jay's kind of talking about the ancient roots part of this calling that you're stepping into. And then I'll come and talk about the new growth part of that calling. And after that, we'll pray and commission. That's the plan. So, Keith.
Thank you, Tim. It's good to be with you again, and always to honor the word and see what the life in the word has to speak to us. When we were together having some equipping sessions regarding prophetic ministry, one of the passages we looked at was Revelation 19:10. Let's return there for a brief review of the spirit by which we serve prophetically. John is being given an introduction to what's going on in heaven, and it's such a brilliant, glorious experience that he, in the holy atmosphere, which we've highlighted here today, he bows down to worship the angel who is giving him this introduction. Verse 10 then says, "Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, 'No, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you.'" and your brothers and sisters, who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. I believe the King James says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so let's reflect on this just a minute. This is all highlighting the importance of Jesus. Jesus' work, Jesus' words, his teaching, what he's accomplished throughout history, what he's accomplished in our lives. It's telling that in whatever we're doing prophetically, it should uphold Jesus. This messenger sees himself as a fellow servant of John, who's bringing a revelation of Jesus, and of all of the brothers and sisters who testify to Jesus. And so here's an angelic being saying, I'm in the same ministry you are, making it clear who Jesus is. So prophetic ministry, at its essence, should always uplift and uphold Christ. The word here, testimony or witness, is actually related to the word martyr. And that is one who dies for the sake of a cause, one who dies for the sake of truth, one who dies for the sake of standing for what is right, what is true, what is holy, at the cost of their own life. We sang earlier, we lay down our lives for the sake of the kingdom. That's part of what this consecration is about today. So in prophetic ministry, the essence of it is we are willing to die to ourselves for the sake of the message. So when we're called in to function in this way, we are focusing on what exalts Jesus. We're not calling attention to ourselves. We're a servant. We're delivering a message. When we see things and have gifts to know things, one of the temptations is pride. I know. I can see. I can explain. But that's not the spirit of this. Rather, it's the spirit of servanthood. I am delivering a message from God the Holy One to you. What an honor. What a privilege. What a responsibility. So the thought here is, let's not call attention to ourselves by apologizing. No, I am speaking with my best understanding what I believe I'm seeing God is saying in this situation. Let's do it with honor. Let's do it with attention to Christ and not ourselves. The humility comes in serving by delivering it. The humility comes by willing to put it out there for the sake of being misunderstood, or even not seeing it fully or clearly in every regard, but I'm giving it as a servant, and I'm willing to lay down my reputation to do so. So to embrace this role to which this congregation is called, which we're highlighting today, is a call to lay down your lives, and I'll join you, lay down our lives for the sake of doing something not only that's new, but for the sake of doing something that's very life-giving and very honoring to Christ, even though it is in a unique way. So let's be willing to bear the burdens, to experience the difficulties of identifying with those who have needs and be willing to bear that just as Christ sacrificially gave himself. The testimony of Jesus is to sacrificially give ourselves for the sake of people knowing the Father, for the sake of being one with God's purposes. Think of what can happen if this congregation serves by giving people God's heart through words and perceptions that he entrusts to you. It will edify, it will honor, it will bless, it will serve.
Thanks, Keith, for those strong reminders. It's a joy to be here with you again on this day. And, you know, as the servant of the Lord who had the opportunity to deliver the initial word, there's so much joy in my heart, not in necessarily the fulfillment of the word as much as in the glorification of Christ. In new beginnings, stepping deeply into what it is that God has for you. It's today's just a really exciting day for me, and so the invitation to come and to speak a little bit about the purpose and the nature to which God is calling this ministry by way of like the prophetic ministry, specifically being toward the Church of the Brethren. That's a real point of delight, particularly because I didn't grow up Brethren. I grew up Baptist, you know, and what are you going to do, you know? I grew up real conservative Baptist, and I grew up across the street, though, from Church of the Brethren, from Parkerford Church of the Brethren, their old church building. And so I would always go. That's how I met Tim and his family. It's how I would go there and play their game nights. And they were just this beautiful, loving community of faith, much like the church that I was a part of. And so it was a real joy to be engaged in that. But I didn't really learn much about the Church of the Brethren and more broadly the Anabaptist stream of faith until I was in college and studying church history. And then when the invitation came for me to move from the church that I was serving at in St. Louis and to come and pastor at Cornerstone Christian Fellowship, which is a COB church, there was a couple of courses and classes that were required for me to be brethrenized, That's it. Which any good Baptist can respect, you know. When you grow up knowing that you're right all the time, you know, it makes sense to just sort of like submit and flow in with the stream that you're a part of. But what I learned was this incredible heritage. I mean, I rarely have I seen a heritage that is as exciting to me, or that is as in line with the heart of Christ than the Anabaptist stream of faith, particularly as it comes from the Brethren perspective. The idea of the Anabaptist concept of taking your faith and making it active in the world, married to and linked with the pietistic roots, the radical pietistic roots of having a personal relationship with Christ, where you believe that the connection between your spirit and the Holy Spirit is one that is alive and that is active, where John chapter 10 is readily applied. My sheep know my voice, they hear it, and they follow it. You know, in the 1500s, the 1600s, when the Anabaptist revolts and theologies are being built and the pietistic concepts are being built, and you know, that flew just so strongly in the face of the traditional church concepts of tradition is what matters most and human authority is what matters most. So there's this incredible heritage that was in place of the idea of my sheep hear my voice and they know it and they follow. And take your faith and make it active. It's the first and the second commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we understand and know that being an Anabaptist is. The Church of the Brethren currently particularly from, again, a perspective that I was invited to, not being brethren, back in 2007, Tim was invited to lead a district-wide discernment team to research why is the Church of the Brethren declining in membership? Why is the ANE declining in membership? And Tim's initial instinct in that was like, no, I don't want that project. He and I talked about it, and I was sort of like, but this is a chance for us to really like hear God and speak truth, which I'm all about. And so it sort of like clicked with Tim. In the long run, I think I probably ended up talking Tim into it. But it turned out to be this really incredible experience that became a real marker of prophetic ministry, I think, in the A&E. Actually, it was when we delivered that report that we first engaged Mike, where at that district conference in 2000, I think it was eight or nine, We delivered this prophetic discernment, delivered this word, and at the core was the concept that the COB has lost its first love, that our district has lost its first love, and that we need to return to first love. We worked with a turnaround task team, which was a group of young leaders in the Church of the Brethren, that Tim and I saw not just as a way to get something done as far as discernment, but if nothing else, we were going to together create a team that was going to pursue God and that was going to hear his voice. And so the Lord used that as a lot of the equipping that particularly I brought to you folks over the course of the last year or so, as you've walked through these prophetic equipping experiences, were basic lessons that I learned through the TAT team experiences. As I come to you this morning and remind you of who you are and the ministry that God is calling you to as a prophetic discerning voice within the Church of the Brethren, I do so with a look and a reminder of the fact that that TAT team report is still a strong and solid word. That the need for we, the Church of the Brethren, the A&E churches, to return to our first love is as strong as it's ever been. And the TAT team was a prophetic voice to bring that. And we haven't been without prophetic voices since that time. But New Beginnings is being called to join that prophetic voice, calling the church back to something. The reason why the marriage between the Anabaptist theology and the Pietistic theology that creates brethren, the reason why that's so exciting and for me personally fulfilling to be a part of is not because Anabaptists are right and is not even necessarily because this is a tradition that has made it or a tradition that is having impact or culturally changing things. We hope all that to be true, but the reason why this is so important is because at the core, what you will be prophetically engaging and what I'm encouraging you to think about in your prophetic engagement anyway, is not to call the Church of the Brethren back to its roots of being Anabaptist. The reason why the Anabaptist and the Pietistic marriage is so exciting is because those things are rooted and found within the nature of Christ himself. And what the COB, what the A&E needs from church, from New Beginnings is not a call to being originally brethren. It's a call to being originally Jesus and to be noted and marked by the love of Christ. We just declared it in that last song we sang. We are your church. But in a lot of ways, the Church of the Brethren has become the Brethren Church as opposed to Jesus Church. And tradition has taken over, and other things have taken over, and bureaucracy has taken over. And you serve in a key prophetic role for this time to call the Church of the Brethren back to its truest ancient roots. The fact that we serve a triune God who incarnated himself through the person of Christ and who declared, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And to lead a discerning move into the A&E to restore and to call back to the truly deep things that God has rooted us in, even beyond the tradition by which we express it, but Jesus himself. Hear these words from Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus says the Lord, Stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, the ancient Jews in the time of the Romans when Jesus was on the earth were deeply, deeply, intimately familiar with the text, with the Old Testament, particularly key prophetic and patriarchal leaders like Moses, very familiar with Moses, very, very familiar with David, right? Very, very familiar with two specific prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah. When Jesus says in the book of Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will," what's the next phrase? "Find rest for your souls." He is triggering a spiritual memory in them. They know Jeremiah 6. They know it inside and out. They've been taught this entire life, their entire life, and when Jesus says, "You will find rest for your souls," he is sending their minds back to Jeremiah chapter 6. Stand by the way and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. One thing we talked about in our prophetic equipping times, one thing you'll see if you read the TAT report, one thing that you'll see if you look at Revelation chapter 2, is that it is really, really easy, and we certainly, COB churches, fall into this, to work very hard and to toil and to endure and to be patient and to buck up and to be strong and to further the gospel, if nothing else, just by working harder. And that becomes spiritually weary when we do that out of our own strength, when we do that out of a tradition that moves away from first love in Christ. We get very, very tired. One of the sad things here in Jeremiah 6 is that the people did not walk in it. And the whole book of Jeremiah is about the results of what happens when you don't walk in the way. And it's a sad book. It just goes on from there. God's continual promise, though, is to redeem his people despite their disobedience. But it takes the word of the prophet to draw them back to that place. So the beauty of prophetic ministry, this testimony of Jesus that you continually call for and that we continually walk in as prophetically gifted people, this is your call as New Beginnings, as a part of the Church of the Brethren. The COB, we desperately need a prophetic voice. We desperately need, particularly, I just see such power in a local church with a prophetic anointing, being able to minister and speak lovingly, just like Keith mentioned, not in a hard-handed way, in a serving way, in a dying to myself so as to serve my brothers and sisters with the beautiful word of the Lord. And if that word is hard, that's God's word. You serve and love by delivering what it is that God has given you to know. The prophetic equipping sessions that Keith and I were able to lead were just a real joy to be a part of, to watch you grow and deepen in your experience and your understanding of prophetic ministry. I want you to understand that your confidence is, those equipping sessions were wonderful and gave you good tools, but your confidence is in Christ. It is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. And the Holy Spirit will draw on those tools that you were given and will continue to refine. And, you know, we're not just throwing you out there into the deep end. We'll be with you in and through this, these experiences, and learning more and more deeply what it means to minister to and to serve. But at the core, we can never move away from the fact that the truest ancient root that New Beginnings needs to keep in mind and in heart and in spirit as you step toward this prophetic ministry is a return to first love. A return to first love. Jesus says, repent and do the things you did at first. And that's prophetic ministry. That's the word of the Lord is where things begin. And so God is calling and gifting and blessing New Beginnings with this, to be a voice drawing back to the truest, truest depth, the truest, truest root of who we are, Jesus himself.
It was, I think about, it was right during that time, when during the TAT team time, shortly after that, when I got a letter from you in the mail asking me to consider, to prayerfully consider stepping into a covenant with New Beginnings here in apostolic ministry. It's impossible for me to describe to you how awkward that moment was for me. The word apostle is a word that the way I was raised, that was just a word that spoke of something very historical and not something current or present. And yet through that whole moment, there was a combination. And I think this is a really important part of the narrative, the story, real-time story, is that, and I've told you this a little bit before, I had this image in my mind many times. I was a big fan of Lord of the Rings, one of those guys, and there's this character in the Lord of the Rings, Aragorn, and I remember many times reading the book and thinking about this guy, Aragorn, and saying, like, there's something about his personality and what he does in the story that I relate to, and I consistently related to that. Well, one day, I won't give all the backstory. All I'll say is that one day Jay called me out of the blue and asked me to meet him here in Brickerville at the State Game Lands. Which way is it? I don't know where I am. That way? Okay, yeah, at the State Game Lands. And when I got there, Jay was there, holding a sword in his hand, literally a sword that the Lord had told him to buy on online months before, and he didn't know what he was supposed to do with this sword. There was just this sword. And so he hands me the sword, and he said, God's calling you into something, and you need to receive it. And he hands me the sword of Aragorn. And that's what it was. And so I was like, what? And so I go home, and I when I get home, we lived in Ephrata at the time. When I get home, I go home and I open up this letter that's there from Mike, and with this quote from Lord of the Rings in it, asking me to step into apostolic ministry here at New Beginnings. It was this like weird kind of freaky moment for me, and I would have had I actually about 5 or 6 years before that I was working at Vanguard, a financial institution in King of Prussia area, and. I was sitting there at my desk one morning asking the Lord, where do I fit in here? We each are looking for our gifts and trying to understand what our role is. And I know I'm called into ministry, but I don't understand the way you've designed me and how that fits in your word. And when I started reading and picking out in the scripture the kinds of people that I related to and the kinds of ministry that they were doing, I started looking at these guys who had apostolic ministry, and I said, that's what my heart pounds for. But those are the guys from back then, you know? And I didn't understand what that looked like in our world now. So if then fast forward all those years, and then that thing happens on that day, and God fulfills that. The reason I say that is because, you know, Jay has a prophetic gift. I think it's important for you to know as a congregation that you do as well. And that I would not, the organization that I work with now, Netzer, we are seeing incredible, incredible things happen with God bringing together churches and ministries, seeing beautiful things happen in cities and in regions as churches start to work together, and pastors that were discouraged are now encouraged. They were getting ready to leave the ministry. Now they're having thriving congregations, all because of the prayer ministry that's happening between pastors, and they're caring for each other and they're being supported. But all that happened because God put a call on me to go and care for pastors. That wouldn't happen unless Jay said, we got to go after this TAT team. I know you don't want to do it, but you got to do it. Unless he had handed me a sword of Aragorn and the Lord had spoken to me. Unless New Beginnings, the first church that said, would you please serve apostolic oversight of our congregation? And if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't be serving in the role that I'm serving in now. And now there's all sorts of churches that are benefiting from that ministry. And that is the ministry of the Lord. It's the ministry of Jesus. I look back at what I've seen happen, and I'm like, how in the world did all of that happen? Where did that come from? And I look at what the Lord's doing, and I'm like, well, it came from Jesus dying on a cross And then it came from some prophetic figures who weren't afraid to be weird or call stuff out in me and take a kid really at the time and sense that calling and say, you're supposed to do this. And I remember one of the first perspectives I had of New Beginnings was this idea of that God intentionally had the size of New Beginnings, the size that it is, because it was called to very unique things. And I remember coming here and talking about that picture as special forces, you know, is what I call it, which is a funny way of putting it here at New Beginnings, at a Church of the Brethren congregation. But there was that sense of a special forces thing, that God was doing something special and unique. That has only continued now. And it's being called out more and being brought to more fruition. And so if you turn to 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to read a couple different verses. Start in verse in chapter 12, verse 27. Sean, I just also want to say thanks so much for your leadership this morning. I think you and Scott both referring to Joshua and referring to the call to courage and the call to step in, and then the song selection that y'all chose, they were really spot on. Verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Each person here has unique individual gifts. You know, not all are prophets, not all have, but the congregation has a kind of a mark on it and a call on it. So here we go. Verse 28, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts." Now, this is important. This is very important. What we desire in the gifts, when we desire a gift, the point is, it says, "And I will show you still a more excellent way," which now goes into talking about love, right? And the entire chapter is about how we love one another. And the reason that we're seeking higher gifts is because we want the gifts that can most profoundly pour out God's love on his people. Get into chapter 14, verse 1. "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." Verse 4. "The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church." Down in verse 12. "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." And then all the way down to the end of the chapter in verse 39, "So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order." When I was a kid, we used to go on the, and when we had the kind of initial meeting, like Mike said, when Jay first brought this word, I felt, I'll be honest, I felt a little bit like a helicopter parent who doesn't want anything bad to happen to their kids. You know, when your kids are growing up, you remove all the stuff from the house that they might hurt themselves on, and you hope to protect them. And when Jay first mentioned this, I was like, that's a big stretch. You know, a church going to other congregations on a Sunday morning to pray for them and to serve them that way. And I trust Jay implicitly. We're brothers, you know, and I know God's call on him. But I looked at him and I'm like, dude, like, come on, man. And he was like, "I'm just telling you, this is one of the clearest things I've heard from the Lord." And then I told Mike, and Mike kind of had the same reaction with me. He was like, "We'll pray about it, you know, but that is crazy." And that's kind of been the process and all throughout this thing. And then we continue to look back and realize that what the Lord has done. But at first I really wanted to protect from anything weird or anything too awkward or anything too stretching. And then we realize as parents that we have that moment when our kids are actually called to step out into risk and into vulnerability because faith requires it. And when we want to see God do awesome things, then we have to step into situations where it requires God to fulfill it. And I remember as a child, a moment when my parents did that for me, and I shared with you at our initial gathering around this word about when I had to go into lay witness missions with my parents. And it would be when people from other churches all gather to go to a single congregation to do prophetic discernment with that church. And it wasn't clergy doing this. It was just the average congregant coming together, and my parents were a part of that, and they brought me to these things. And so we'd go somewhere up in the mountains somewhere to some random congregation I'd never heard of, and then we would enter into this church for the weekend where we're going to be praying for this church and listen. And they would go with the adults, and they would send me in with the youth group, like the only kid. And they'd send me in with the youth group and maybe one other kind of adult leader to help facilitate that. And I was supposed to do something helpful in this situation. I was barely walking with the Lord at all. And I cared about girls and basketball. You know, that's about it. And yet, that's where they put me. And I was like, what do I do? And man, God did some awesome things in that moment. In humility, when we depend on the Lord, if God wants to speak, God's going to speak. And so the words from Joshua that were read earlier, I just want to echo in the words of Jeremiah. So if you then turn to Jeremiah with me, chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Mike, when you said earlier, from the very beginning, we've tried to honor the Lord with what it is that he's called us to. This is what I sense, this passage in relation to new beginnings. Before God formed you, new beginnings, in the womb, when you're embryonic, when you're just a thought, God knew you. And before you were born, he consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. I've been in a series with you. I don't know if you remember. It's been a long time. A lot's changed since the last time I was here to talk. I went on sabbatical, but I've been in a series from Acts 2:42, the origins of the church and how we line ourselves up with when we look all the way back at that, the origin of the church in Acts 2. And we talked about what it means to be devoted, because it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so we had one time we talked about devotion and what that means. Then we talked about the word, the apostles teaching the word. What did it mean for them to devote themselves to the word? Then what did it mean for them to devote themselves to fellowship? And that's what we talked about last time. The next one that we would talk through would be they devoted themselves to the apostles teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. And the breaking of bread is the celebration of the gospel. The reminder of the gospel. It's the ordinances that we practice in the church. This is communion, baptism. It's the institutionalized part of the church. What do we institutionalize in the church? What lasts from generation to generation? What is our heritage? What is the thing that we remember? What is the thing that is the basic practice of the church for 2,000 years? This moment where we take a piece of bread and we break it and we remember that it is not about us. It is about Jesus. We take the blood and we take the cup that's reminding us of the blood, and we remember that all he's called us to do is not based on what we've done right, and it's not based on what we've done wrong. It's based on who Christ is and what it is that he's doing. So when we are asking the Lord to walk in authority and have him move to edify the body of Christ in this call, we're leaning into Christ. We're not leaning into the gift. We don't lean into the gift. We don't lean into our righteousness. We lean into Jesus. It's the ministry of Jesus. And as he calls us into that, the coolest thing about it is that we get to experience more of him in the process. That's the most amazing thing about walking in our gifts, is not a sense of purpose or a sense of fulfillment. It's that the sense of presence that we have as we watch Christ moving, and we get to be a part of that. So that's the prayer and the call, is that it's been obvious over the years that this call has been on you. I haven't realized just how obvious until as more things call that out, the more I begin to realize, man, New Beginnings has a special and unique call within the broader body of Christ. And it's really, really cool. And I'm really grateful to be a part of that. And I'm really grateful that you kind of birthed this yourselves, you know, by calling me into this relationship with you, which then put you in relationship with Jay, that had this called out in you and is bringing it back around and naming that in you. So what I want to do now is we want to officially go into kind of commissioning that. And so what we're going to do is let's come up and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And this is the consecration and the commissioning. And we each have a part to play in this commissioning. I don't know if you know what impartation is. Impartation is when someone spiritually prays that what is in them is being given, that God is imparting. So this isn't just God, please do this. This is God release into a person right now. It's one thing to teach something, to give something to someone's mind. It's another thing to ask the Lord to place it now into their spirit. Keith is going to pray through an impartation. Jay is going to pray through a naming and declaring. That's what the prophetic gift does, is it names, declares, it speaks it. And then the actual commissioning, I'll pray us through. So that's what we're going to do right now. Yeah, so the sense that Keith got was that we should call the young people forward in this prayer, which, you know, Scott, when you were calling us to pray for the people on our right and our left, I had someone on my right who I was praying for, and the thing that I sensed the Lord praying was, name the call on her life, that I have a unique call. This is good here. Y'all can stand right here.
I got it. Let's try that again.
Mic drop.
Watch you guys come right here. First of all, let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Paul, in every one of his letters that he wrote, he first of all gave greetings from himself and people who were with him. And then the second thing he did in every letter was he thanked God for the people. And then he went on to write about what he was concerned about. So in this case, he begins to say that, I would really like to come and visit you. So I just want to say to the whole congregation today, I really am glad to be here. Greetings from Teaching the Word Ministries. Secondly, I'm thankful for the experience that I've had with you and that we're doing something like this. This is really fulfilling because it's a step of obedience to God's call. The fact that it's unique, That's nice, but what's really meaningful is we're doing what God wants done. We're saying what he's saying. And so then Paul goes on to say he would really like to visit these people, and I'll read from there. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. The same kind of sense that, like, Tim comes to see you and deliver a message. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. So the thought here is there's a mutual blessing, Paul being blessed by them, he being a blessing to them. His heart was to impart, to give what he had within him to them as a spiritual gift. So that's what we're doing here today. And I had the particular sense from the very beginning of the service that you young persons should receive this, because it's a congregational thing. This is not just for the adults. And as Tim shared his story, he was put in a situation where he ministered to the other youth. So the Lord is going to work through everyone, and it's very important that we value the voice of every person. And this is cultivating, because of this congregation being called to this, we're cultivating this in every member, and you guys are going to be a part of this. So I have been blessed with the capacity to see and to speak prophetically. I've prayed over hundreds of people spontaneously what the Lord has shown me to pray for them. I've prayed for people in other countries where they didn't know English and I didn't know their language, but we worked through an interpreter and it was accurate. It blessed them and so forth. So I'm really blessed by the opportunity today to impart to you what God has given to me, that you likewise may simply hear what he's saying. And what I do is I simply say, Lord, are you saying ABC? And if he repeats that back to me, then I'm committed to say it to the people that I share with. So you're going to be able to hear more clearly what God is saying. You're going to be able to hear more clearly what God is saying. And you're going to be able to say it with confidence, because you hear his voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one here today, and for those who may not be here but are a part of this congregation, to which you're calling them to observe, care for, hear on behalf of others, particularly not only individuals but whole congregations. Father, into each one, to minister to one another and to minister together and to minister in order and honor of the guidance of leadership, I impart to this congregation the capacity to see, the capacity to hear, the capacity to bear and carry in one's heart the truth of how you, Father, see that situation, that need, that potential, that opportunity, that calling, that gifting, that ministry. And then to speak it with confidence as servants, releasing the power of your word in those words to bring to pass what you're saying and what you're doing. We bless each of these young people, each adult, each one as they hear and submit to one another to bring forth a corporate word. Thank you for the power, the anointing of your Holy Spirit, your presence, and your power by the Spirit to rest in this work, to delight in sharing and serving other people in this way. We release the joy and the patience and the trust that you will bring to pass what you speak, what you say. you watch over your word to perform it. So with that confidence, I again impart these truths into this congregation as its equipping, as its destiny, as its purpose, as its capacity. In Jesus, head of the church, in the Father's love, and in the communion of the Holy Spirit, amen.
So one of the beauty of, probably the singular beauty of intercession, of prayer, is the ability to agree with God. And that's where power is. So when what I'm about to do is declaring. Right? And so the idea of declaration isn't that I'm creating something as much as agreeing with what God is creating. So hearing his voice and then speaking that into existence is important. We do this in parenting all the time. If our child is struggling with dishonesty, we just simply declare through any number of creative means, right? That you are honest, right? You are an honest person. We don't reinforce dishonesty in them by saying, oh, you're such a bad liar. Rather, we call them to a higher place. So away from dishonesty and toward honesty. And it's a reality that's not in place yet. The reality is right now in this moment in time, they're being dishonest. But the truest reality of who they are as a follower of Jesus, made in the image of God, as someone under your government in your home, is that they're honest. So that's not their reality now necessarily, but the speaking of it, both through word and deed, actually creates an agreement with who God has made them to be. And that is what declaration is, right? So we are declaring things that very much may be in existence. We are declaring things that we hear God declaring for who you are becoming. And saying those things, words put meaning and reality around concepts. And so that's the beauty of declaration, and that's the beauty of naming, is that it identifies and it calls. And it sets wheels in motion that begin to take people and organizations and churches more and more deeply into who they are in Christ. So I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit, and we will walk in this time together. Thank you, God, for your presence here with us. And we now look to engage the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ, the corporate church. We have the mind of Christ. We step together toward you to receive your wisdom, the spiritual things of God that are defined spiritually, that are defined by the Spirit. We don't want to walk in either carnality or naturalness. But we desire to be spiritual people who are Spirit-led in the wisdom of God. So God, open your mind to us now to see what you see, to feel what you feel, to declare what you are declaring. Right up front, we declare that Christ is the head of his church, and that his church exists so that in all things he might have supremacy. New Beginnings Christian Fellowship is the church. New Beginnings Christian Fellowship is the body of Christ. And this congregation exists so that in all things Christ might have supremacy. And that is the utmost and foundational reality that is New Beginnings Christian Fellowship. All ministry comes from that place. All life comes from that place of desiring to see all things held together in Christ, existing for the sake of him and for his glory, for his name to be known, for his church to be built, for his word to go forth, for his gospel to spread, for the good news to truly be delivered, to the captives, to the poor, to the deaf, to the blind, that there might be a release of the word of God that makes things happen. It was by the word of God that this world was spoken into existence. It was by the word of God that the people were set free from Egypt. It was by the word of God that they were receiving the prophetic word. And Jesus himself is the word. And so the prophetic word that New Beginnings delivers, we declare in Jesus' name, will be the word that is Christ himself. That other words are not welcome. That the word that they receive would be the word that comes from Christ for what and who his church is. That the role prophetically of declaring and naming that they will be about is something that is within their wheelhouse now. You are equipped, New Beginnings. You are equipped to be a prophetic voice within the Church of the Brethren. And we release that name over you, prophet. Prophet. Like, you are a prophet to this church. You are a prophet to your own family. You are a prophet to that which birthed you. And your heart to those three things that we capitalized on in our equipping sessions, right? Exhortation, encouragement, comfort. We release those things in and through you in Jesus' name and declare that you will be an exhorter of the Church of the Brethren. We declare that you will be an encourager of the Church of the Brethren. We declare that you will be a comforter of the Church of the Brethren, that what God has sent you to through the prophetic ministry that he's calling you to is something that you are fully equipped for. So we also declare confidence in the calling that he has given you. This is not confidence in yourself. This is confidence in the one who has called. And what God has called you to, he has also equipped you for. And we rest in the faith of knowing that truth. We declare that in the place of prophetic ministry, we declare rest for New Beginnings, that rest would be their posture, that this would not be about trying to drum something up, that this would not be about trying to work hard, this would not be about performance, this would not be about trying to measure up. We pray rest and speak rest as reality for you, that you will move at the same pace as God. And that at that point of rest, your prophetic word will be actually an invitation to join us here, like to join us in this place with Jesus. It's so amazing here. Like, the weariness goes away. His yoke is easy. The yoke that you've been experiencing is hard, but this is so easy. It's amazing. It's light. It's away from religion. It's away from naturalness. It's with God. And New Beginnings, you have this call, you have this wonder, you have this beauty of being able to and walk in the rest of God and inviting the Church of the Brethren to join you in his rest. Because today is always the day to enter God's rest. And lastly, we declare that your victory is in Christ. We declare that your identity, legitimacy, and significance are rooted in Christ. We declare that your identity and legitimacy and significance is not rooted in whether or not your ministry is received. Your identity, legitimacy, and significance is rooted in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross and was no more a legitimate son anywhere else than he was right then. And Jesus rose from the dead, and the significance that that brings to him and thus to his sons is a reality that you stand in. And so the ministry that you are called to is a ministry that is from him and for him and to him, but that you and your identity and legitimacy and significance are rooted and grounded on Christ. And human definitions of success must go. And religious definitions of success must go. And we declare intimacy between you and your Savior, to hear his voice and to serve his church by speaking, by walking in the ministry of the prophet. God shares the secrets of his covenant with his friends. So we declare you friends of God to walk in the intimacy, the joy, and the depths of relationship with him in such deep connectedness that your thoughts are his thoughts, that your words are his words, and as you speak those, there is life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you stand with me, please? Old chorus, I exalt thee, except we're going to sing We Exalt Thee.
We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O Lord. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O Lord.
We have one more thing to do. Don, can you come up and join us? And the elders, can you please come up and join us? Jesus said on the day that he rose from the dead, after he had seen Mary Magdalene, elders can come up too, after he had seen Mary Magdalene in the morning, later in the day, Jesus appears to the disciples, pops up out of nowhere in their room while they're hiding and they're scared. And it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." They were called to the ministry of reconciliation, and they were given the Holy Spirit. This is the moment. It's an awesome moment because here Jesus steps in, surprises them. They're freaked out. He says, "Peace be with you." And they can't quite receive the peace yet until he shows them his hands and his feet. Then they're like, wow, he's actually risen from the dead. He has the power to say this. And he says it again, and they get to a place of peace. And that's when he says, "Look, God sent me. So right off the bat, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. And when you go, I'm giving you the Spirit." And he breathes on him. Must have been a weird moment. You know? And then when he breathes on them, we don't hear about anything happening. There's no tongues of fire over their head. There's not anything that happens. He just tells them, "You're receiving the Holy Spirit." There's this prophetic act over them where he says it and he breathes. And then he says, "This is what's going to happen. When you forgive people, when you declare to them that they are reconciled with God, when you see their confession and you declare their forgiveness, they are forgiven. When you say, 'This isn't forgiveness yet, this hasn't happened yet, it's not there,'" he's calling them into the ministry of that prophetic ministry that they're called to. And he's prophetically saying it over them in that moment. We know that not long from then, they'll be huddled in an upper room in Jerusalem, and it will happen. What Jesus said will come to fruition, and there will be all the empowerment that they need in order to do the stuff that he's called him to. This moment right here is like this moment that where Jesus shows up in the room, where we're saying along with Jesus, he's saying, and so we're saying with him, like, "Okay, peace be with you now." And he is sending you, and he's going to give you the Spirit, and he's going to give you everything that you need. It's with you. And so, like, just to join with Jesus, you know, breathe the breath It's yours. And what you forgive, this whole prophetic ministry, is when something's out of line and Christ isn't fully exalted and it's not flowing, he gives the capacity to name it and to bring forgiveness and reconciliation into that situation. The beautiful work of the prophetic. So in order to do that, we want to anoint the elders symbolically for that purpose, and then we're going to pray over them. And I really wanted Don here as well for this part of it, because this is, I think, a commissioning. I mean, I've served apostolically with this congregation, but this is also a ministry within the Church of the Brethren, that we are asking New Beginnings to serve the Church of the Brethren in this way, right? So we're commissioning them in the Church of the Brethren and in the kingdom of God to do this work. Amen?
Amen. And I would just like for us to sing softly and reverently a song that we all know. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let this church say
amen.
A little louder now.
As he was ascending into heaven, he looked to his disciples and he said, go to all nations. He told them to preach the gospel. He sent them out of all nations, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded them, even to the end of the age. And lo, and so, Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your sending us. We thank you that you send us, and when we go, we find you out there in front of us. We thank you, Jesus, for the immense gift that you have been given and that you have given to us. The ministry that the Father put on you and then you by your Spirit put in us. What a gift to be a part of that. And as we go, and as we love, and as we embrace in humility our brothers and sisters who are on that journey as well, we just recognize that in our own brokenness, but in our restoration in you, that there's this immense pleasure of finding ourselves interconnected in the body of Christ, loved, being loved, and loving. Flowing in your Spirit, experiencing the heart of your Father, all under the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And so we thank you and praise you, and we say, it's a new beginnings. In the name of Jesus, by the power of Christ's shed blood, you are sent in the ministry. Rest in him. Trust in him. Follow him. Go with him and do his work and build his kingdom along with him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go. 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 Be blessed. Lord, make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. Amen.
Now.